Welcome to Are You Quizzing Me? I'm Vineet Nair with my co-host Aditya Kashyap. This is a quizzing trivia podcast show. Join us as we dive deep into history, science, sport, pop culture, and so much more. Let's get quizzing.
And we're back with episode number 41 of Are You Quizzing Me? Your favorite quizzing trivia podcast show. Aditya and I are back for another round of quizzing. And let's start it off with today's audience question. This question is for you, our beloved audience. Palm Cola is a discontinued soft drink product from the Tamil Nadu Palm Gur and Fiber Cooperative Federation. Today, it's only remembered for its TV commercial, a very unique TV commercial. What was its claim to fame? Let me repeat the question. Palm Cola is a discontinued soft drink product from the Tamil Nadu Palm Gur and Fiber Cooperative Federation. Today, it's remembered for its TV commercial, a very unique 3D TV commercial. What was its claim to fame? Our beloved audience, you have until the end of the episode to try and guess the answer. Let's move on now to Aditya's weekly question, a question that he asked at the end of last week's episode, and one which he will answer right now and put us all out of our misery, or at least that's what I hope he'll do.
You know what, Vineet? I'm going to actually not just give you the answer to my question. I'm going to run you through my mental process, how I actually come up with these gems and pearls of wisdom. So last week, what I asked was, which Hollywood Walk of Fame star would ideally be on the roof? Because most of them are on the street, on the horizontal level over there. Some of them are vertical on maybe a wall, but there's none which is on a roof. And I asked you which one should be on the roof. Now, here's the answer. Let's just do a very quick answer. The answer is there's a band, English-Australian band called Sky. Now, Sky, the English-Australian band, if it were to ever get a Hollywood Walk of Fame star, it should be on the ceiling because Sky, very easy, very obvious answer. But to all my dear listeners who are fans of the podcast just for my answer and don't really care about the rest of the podcast, let me tell you that I was thinking of multiple different answers. Here, I thought about maybe somebody whose name is Ruth. And sometimes you know how they pronounce her name Ruth as roof. And I was like, oh, that could be on the roof. Or I actually tried to see if there was any famous Chinese celebrity with the last name Ling and a first name that has the first letter C. So that would be C Ling or ceiling. And that would be on the ceiling as well. And you know what? I went through so much for all of you, all my fans out there. If you are a fan, please reach out and let me know that I'm not completely deluded. And I did this for all the fans. And I'm sorry. You know what? I want to apologize that today's answer was way too easy. Sky, the English-Australian band, is not my best work. I will come back next week with much better. And that's all for this part of the episode. Let's move on very quickly now.
You know, I'm so thankful. I've never been more thankful that madness is not contagious.
That's what you think. It just is working very slowly, but it will get there.
Let's hope not. Because if that's the case, then we would have a lot to answer for. You yourself would have infected God knows how many listeners of this podcast.
Indeed.
Moving on from Aditya's madness to a question, the first question of the day. I'm going to do the honors for today. In 2016, the United States saw a spike in the activity levels of its citizens. According to Eric Horvitz and his pals at Microsoft Research in Redmond, Washington, this thing added a total of 144 billion, that's billion with a B, steps to US physical activity. Though there were instances of public nuisances and concerns about security attributed to this as well, what led to this sudden surge in physical activity among US citizens?
2016, so makes me think Trump. Was it like protest marches?
Oh no, that would have been a great one. But no, I mean, like, this is 144 billion steps added to the entire US population. That's
okay, then
huge.
The other option is Pokemon Go.
Why do I even bother? Yes, it is Pokemon Go, yes. But I was very fascinated with the fact that 144 billion steps. The fact of the matter is, America has an obesity epidemic. I think Pokemon Go might just be the answer to that.
Honestly, you know, that is not even that bad an idea if it gets people out there. And I don't know how much the craze was in India. In 2016, I was in Singapore and I saw so many people just out there walking with their phones in their hand. And you knew every person who was doing that was playing Pokemon Go. So, you know what, technology, if it can create such real world effects, I'm all for it. Why not?
Yeah, because I work in the, you know, healthcare industry. And one thing that we've found is extremely difficult is to get people to care about their own health. People are more than willing to spend time, money, and effort when they fall sick. But getting them to put that kind of, or even a fraction of that same time, money, or effort in preventing themselves from getting sick is next to impossible. It's one of those things. Getting people to be concerned about that is very difficult.
At this point, this is a PSA from us. You know what? If normally you find yourself watching Netflix or sitting in front of your TV and playing a video game, stop doing that. Instead, take out your phone, plug in your earphones, go for a walk and listen to a wonderful quizzing podcast. I don't know. Maybe one which has two very charismatic Indian hosts and ask each other a trivia, which is preceded by a very, very funny joke at the beginning of every episode. I can't think of any example off the top of my head, but yeah, why not go do that? Try that out and recommend it to family and friends as well.
You do realize that there were two major exaggerations in that description. One is the fact that you described both of us as charismatic. While that might, you know, apply to you, I would seriously doubt that it does to me. And number two, you described your joke at the beginning of every episode as very, very funny. Let me just tell you, it just you know, reinforces my perception that you do have some level of madness. But the idea is good, even though, you know, notwithstanding the exaggeration that he put out there. Go for a walk, listen to us. I mean, like, it's better than dying.
I would imagine so, yeah. Listen to our podcast, it is better than dying. I love that as a tagline. Just listen to Are You Kissing Me? It is better than dying.
Yes. So Aditya, your turn.
Okay, lovely. Speaking of a podcast, we did have a listener reach out to us. And this particular gentleman in question, I'm assuming, is okay with me saying their name? Rupesh. So Mr. Rupesh reached out to us and he sent us an email. So hey, if you're listening to this and you would like to do the same, we would absolutely love that. There were some lovely pointers, some valid criticisms, all of which we would love to take into account. But the greatest gift that Rupesh gave us was a question. And now this question is something I can pose to Vineet. So Vineet, this one is
courtesy. Let me just clarify, I have not seen this question. Aditya very dastardly saw it, copied it, and then deleted it from our email so that I wouldn't be able to see it. So yes, I am completely oblivious to this question.
I would not be surprised if you crack it very quickly because this is right up your alley. The question, and I will read it verbatim. The gun barrel sequence is one of the most iconic elements from the James Bond franchise. Movies often tweak the costume, color, aspect ratio, Bond's posture, etc. But in No Time to Die, a major tradition was broken, which could be reasoned by knowing the ending of the movie. For the first time in the franchise's history, James Bond cannot do something specific. So, what was it that was foreshadowed in the gun barrel sequence that directly led to, or at least hinted at, the ending of the film?
So, let me just break it down and see if I can guess it. So, normally you have the gun barrel sequence where, you know, the music starts playing, right? You see the thing of the gun barrel. A person, or James Bond at least, walks in from the right of the screen, walks towards it, and the gun barrel kind of follows him, stops when he reaches right in the middle of the screen, and then he turns around in a very debonair fashion and fires at the audience. And then blood drips down the, you know, the screen, basically in front of it. And then you hear that iconic refrain. That, after having many movies, I know is the gun barrel sequence. Now, spoiler alert for anybody who's not seen No Time to Die. It's a very misleading title. Yes, Bond does find time to die in that movie. Yeah, if you've not watched it till now, big deal. I've spoiled it for you. But so knowing that Bond is about to die, I've watched the movie, but I can't remember what it was. So does he not No, he must fire at the screen. Does he not turn around and fire? Instead, he just, you know, what?
You're right. This was actually part of the question, so I omitted a little bit of it out.
Oh, you did. You know, this is what you audience members should remember, that Aditya lies often. It's a symptom of his madness. Because if you remember, and you can go back and listen to this, he said, I will read this question out verbatim. And then what does he do? Not read it out verbatim.
I actually technically read it verbatim, and then I just stopped reading at some point. So it is technically still verbatim. So the question actually was, you are absolutely on the mark. It does refer to the fact that Bond dies at the end, and that is what the change in the gun barrel sequence was an allusion to. The question still stands, though. What tradition was broken in the gun barrel sequence? Let me actually describe the answer, and I'll stop at where the exact answer is. But here's how Rupesh has spelled out the answer, okay? All the gun barrel intros go like, James Bond walks into an enemy's aim that we see through the gun barrel, shot gets fired, and then enemy's red blood fills the screen.
Yes.
This is the usual gun barrel sequence. What in this was changed?
Okay, this is on the blood fills the, it doesn't fill the entire screen. It fills our view of James Bond.
I'll give it to you. It's very close. Actually, in this case, there was no red blood filling the screen. And the red blood usually means that he's gotten his enemy. In this case, the enemy got him. And he didn't survive the end of the movie, which is what the gun barrel sequence change was meant to allude to. And that is a lovely little reference in No Time to Die. Yeah.
Technically, he does not, he's not killed by the enemy. He commits suicide.
Oh, well, Bond's enemy is living without love and loneliness, and that's what kills him, Vineet. I don't know. I've not even seen No Time to Die. I don't know why just making stuff up.
Completely out of context with the movie. But staying on Bond, this is just a bonus thing. Because the original website where I saw it no longer exists. So I have no way of confirming it. I wanted to make it a question. But then when I went hunting for the website years later, I found that the website is closed. I think the website was called Atomic Cocktails or something. I don't remember. It was Atomic something something. I had the link stored somewhere. It doesn't exist now. But I remember the piece of trivia. So if you take Ian Fleming's books as gospel, what is James Bond's favorite drink?
Oh, interesting. So I'm guessing it's not a vodka martini then.
I don't know. What's your answer?
the movies talk about the vodka martini, right? So I would have
so
guessed
do the vodka books, martini. So do the books.
Oh, then I would have guessed vodka martini, yeah.
No. Of course, it is not the answer. It is not a vodka martini. Technically, it's introduced in Casino Royale, where he describes a martini being made with vodka and what is it called? There's a specific brand of gin he mentions. They, I think, replicated that scene for the Casino Royale movie, and he calls the cocktail a Vesper after Vesper. Okay. He calls it a Vesper, but that is not his most go-to drink. Believe it or not, his go-to drink throughout the books and the series books is a whiskey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't drink the vodka martini that often, but almost every other scene in the book, apparently this particular website had gone through the books and calculated like how many whiskeys he drank and how many martinis he drank. And it's whiskeys by a large margin.
Are you sure it is James Bond whose favorite drink is whiskey? Or is it James Bond's son? Because that would be a Jameson, which would be a Jameson Irish whiskey.
Oh.
Just a freebie in between for our regular listeners.
Yeah, you know, this is where we should actually put the music of the gun barrel music. You know, the gun barrel sequence, if this was a visual scene, and the blood will fit the screen to show that I have literally died from that pun.
No, Vineet, please continue living, because I am not done with the question, actually. Rupesh actually had a follow-up to that question as well, yeah. And which is why I love this, because it's such a lovely question and it has multiple parts to it. The second part to it is, one of the production logos that appears at the end of the movie is also altered and was probably done as a mark of respect for the fallen James Bond. What was this?
You said at the end of the movie, right?
Yes.
So, James Bond movies are traditionally have been traditionally produced by Broccoli Productions, right? Albert Broccoli. And, yeah.
The production house in question, though.
Okay. The other thing is that if I remember correctly, James Bond movies, I don't know if all of them have them, but many of them, when they end, at the end of the credits, they show that James Bond will be back in something, or just James Bond will be back. If I remember correctly, after Live and Let Die, they specifically showed James Bond will be back in A Man with a Golden Gun.
So, but in this case, I'm talking about a production logo specifically, not a title card, not any of these things.
I'll need a clue.
It is the MGM logo.
Oh, the MGM. Oh, yes. James Bond. Yeah, MGM. It's a blank. There is no line. It's just a blank one.
Okay, fine. I'll give it to you. It's close enough. Actually, there is a line, but the line does not...
roar.
Ah, well done. Yes. The line in the MGM logo does not roar during the credits.
Oh, okay. Nice. I did not pick up on any of these when I watched the movie.
Well, in case...
It's a very bittersweet movie.
In case our listeners have not watched the movie, it is spoiled for you, but now you can actually look out for these Easter eggs.
Yes, so, James Bond dies. You want me to spoil it more for you? James Bond has a kid.
Oh, wow. So we have a Jameson. It all ties in together. Okay, lovely. So thank you, Rupesh. Thank you for your lovely email. And if any listeners out there would love to reach out with us with suggestions, with ideas, or just tell us how charismatic we are and how funny my jokes are, or to just give us lovely trivia questions, please do so.
Or I invite anybody who's no psychiatrist to give references to Aditya or self-help groups, therapy groups.
Vineet, you are...
Maybe there's a Punners Anonymous.
Yeah. Sorry, coming back to this, but if you do send an email, remember to, in the subject line, if you want one of us to ask the other person that question, just put the name of the person who you intend for it to be read by, to put their name in the subject. So if you want me to ask Vineet, just put my name in it, say Aditya in the subject, and I'll read it, and Vineet won't. Or if you want Vineet to ask me the question, put Vineet's name in it, and Vineet will read it, and I won't. And that way, we still get to enjoy figuring it out live for your entertainment.
Okay. So, I am now going to go to another question, also related to movies. You, I think, will pick this up pretty quickly. In 2020, on the birth anniversary of a legendary actor, Google added an Easter egg. When asked a question in the search box, a calculator would show up with the number 2 on it. Which actor's birthday are we talking about? You don't need to tell me the birthday, or just tell me which actor. Do you want me to repeat the question?
No, I got it pretty much. A calculator with the number 2 would appear. This was an Easter egg. And this was an Indian actor, I believe, right? You mentioned?
I didn't mention Indian. I just said a legendary actor.
Oh, legendary actor. Okay, then because I'm not sure who this could be, can I get a hint of whether it's, are we talking Bollywood? Are we talking India? Are we talking Hollywood?
It is an Indian actor.
All right. And a calculator with the number 2.
Yes. So let me just repeat the question. In 2020, on the birth anniversary of a legendary actor, Google added an Easter egg. When asked a question in the search box, a calculator showed up with the number 2. Who's the actor?
Wow, I cannot think of literally anything that would fit that question. Okay, well, I'm going to ask for more clues than any other clues.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue by not giving you a clue, but actually expanding the scope of the question. As in, I will ask you one more question.
Okay, let's do
this. Okay, so this is the modified question with a clue, or let's say not a clue. In 2020, on the birth anniversary of a legendary actor, Google added an Easter egg on its site. When asked a question in the search box, a calculator showed up with the number 2 on it. Who was the actor? And what was the question that resulted in this answer?
Oh, so you had to ask a specific question for it to come up as 2.
Yes, not like any question.
That makes a lot more sense. What was the question? And interestingly, it's calculator. Calculator, though, 2.
The calculator is just a method of Google to show the number by itself rather than anything else.
All right, not an image of a calculator. Okay, got it, got it. I'm assuming it's a famous enough actor.
It's a famous enough actor. Like, that Easter egg is still available. If you ask the question, you will still get that.
Interesting.
The Easter egg is still there. So you can try this after you hear what the answer is. You can try it again. You can go try it out on Google.
Nope, Vineet, I am quite blank right now. Give me another clue.
Okay, okay. Let me just give you an added clue. Right. To be more specific, obviously they can't do it. But to be more specific, and if my memory serves me right, along with two in Hindi, you would also be using the word Sardar.
Do Sardar, Dusra Sardar, Dono Sardar. What movie is this?
I said you would also be using the word Sardar. I haven't specifically mentioned in which order you would use it.
Gadar.
No.
No, wow, I can't think of any question which leads to an answer which is Do and Sardar thing is actually not even a clue because that has completely thrown me off.
Let me say this question in its original context in the movie, when asked, the person starts his answer with Sardar.
Oh, do aadmi the, kitne aadmi the Sardar do. Oh my god.
Yes, so what is this?
I was thinking Sholay and I was trying to think of what questions from Sholay and not a single question, and it's stupid of me. No, this is Amjad Khan.
Yes, this is Amjad Khan. So let me just wrap it up in a little bow. On Amjad Khan's birthday in 2020, Google added this Easter egg, which you can still access. If you go to Google and type in "kitne aadmi the," Google will answer with its calculator showing the number 2. It's a reference to this iconic scene from this curry western, very deep cut callback to one of our very first episodes, to this curry western movie called Sholay, which released in the 70s, in which the bandit king or the leader of the bandits asks his subordinate the question, "Kitne aadmi the?" And he replies, "Sardar do aadmi the." So literally, nice. Which means how many of them were there? And the answer is, boss, there were 2. Referencing the iconic duo of Amitabh Bachchan and Dharmendra. For those of our listeners, and we do have listeners outside India, I'm very sorry, it's a very Indian question, but please do take the time out to see Sholay. It's a very different kind of Western. You're used to Westerns of Clint Eastwood. Now you can see Westerns without cowboys, with people riding bikes, handicapped heroes, and at the same time, a lot of music.
You mean to say it is a very Eastern?
Yes, it's an Eastern.
It is an Eastern, yeah.
Okay, your turn.
All right. Now, Vineet, at the beginning of the episode, I told you I have a little surprise for you. And okay. I did not tell you what it was. And
no, you did not.
We have been told on occasion that sometimes we don't do topical questions or we don't venture too far away from our areas of interest. So to satisfy both those curiosities, I'm going to ask you questions. The next few questions that I'm going to ask in this episode are going to be World Cup related, because the Cricket World Cup is going on.
For those people who don't know me at all, I am not a sports person. I am oblivious to any kind of cricket played post 2000. So this is going to be just a... So basically, the rest of this episode is going to be Aditya asking a question and me just going,
At this point, we can just record that and put that in instead of you live.
That's all that's required. I'm not going to know a thing, but go ahead. At least for our audience's sake.
I believe in you. Okay. So the first question is, in 2023, the Mumbai Cricket Association put up 2 seats from their stadium for auction due to its popularity. What is the significance of these 2 seats?
This is the Wankhede Stadium.
Yes.
2 seats on the Wankhede Stadium. Are these like Shah Rukh Khan seats?
No.
Oh, wait. Are these seats where some 6 or something had landed at some point? Like the ball, somebody hit a 6 and the ball landed on the seats?
Yes. Can you be a bit more specific?
No, because I can guess what it is, but if you're going to ask me who or what did it in which match in which year, I am just completely... Oh, wait, is this... No, Dhoni is six? It is one of the most
icon. Yes, Dhoni is six. One Dhoni's... What six was
match
this?
Match winning. This was the match winning six from the final?
It was the World Cup winning six. It was the World Cup winning six from the 2011 Cricket World Cup. The Men's Cricket World Cup in 2011, Vineet, for your information, was won by India. MS Dhoni,
yeah,
our captain.
I actually did watch that match. I just can't remember it.
No! Wait, you watched it or you didn't watch it?
No, I watched the match. I watched the match.
Okay.
I remember the last scene, especially because I also watched it again when I saw the MS Dhoni movie starring Sushant Singh Rajput.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a poor excuse for an Indian. I know that. I am not a cricket fan. So, you know, excuse me. And please don't stop listening to the podcast because I don't watch cricket.
We'll edit out this part. Okay. All right. Lovely. It is the seat. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. The two seats where Dhoni's famous shot landed are known as the 2011 World Cup Memorial Seats. On its website, under a section titled Request for Proposal for Buyout for ICC Cricket World Cup 2023 Matches at Wankhede Stadium, the MCA has mentioned that Cricket World Cup 2011 Victory Memorial Seats, the two of them, will be auctioned, and an auction for these seats will certainly fetch the MCA a few crores of rupees, as was estimated, because, well, it is very iconic and it is very popular. So, yeah, that is my first Cricket World Cup question, and you can go for your next question, and I will... Hey, you did really well. That was very, very well done for somebody who does not follow cricket at all.
Yeah. That is a pity encouragement. Okay. I'm going to give you this. You'll probably get this quickly, but what the hell? I'm going to give you a list. Okay. It's obviously a non-exhaustive list. And in great Indian quizzing tradition, put funda.
Okay.
Okay. So the first name on the list is 82 degrees east. Okay. The second is K beauty, as in K-A-Y beauty.
Okay.
Then Eda Mama. That is E-D space A space Mama.
Okay.
Nush. That is N-U-S-H.
Okay.
And the Rowdy Club.
Okay.
So this is a non-exhaustive list. Tell me what connects them.
Did you mention a category or something?
No, obviously not. Okay. I wouldn't make it easy on you.
Why? Why would you do that? Yeah, of course. Okay, let me guess. Are these brands that are started by Bollywood celebrities?
Not exactly. You're very, very close. Let's just remove one word from your answer and you got it.
Oh, okay. Are these brands started by celebrities?
Yes. Okay. These are all brands started by celebrities. Why do I even bother? Okay, do you know or can you guess who these brands are started by? So 82 degrees east.
82 degrees east. Sounds very familiar, but no.
It's Deepika Padukone's beauty brand.
Okay.
K beauty. K-A-Y beauty.
K beauty. Karina?
Oh, no. The other one. Katrina.
Fair enough. Katrina. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And True Blue?
True Blue. No idea. True Blue, I've never even heard of.
Sachin Tendulkar.
Ah, okay.
Eda Mama.
That's Alia Bhatt, I think.
Yes, very good. Nush.
Nush is the one that actually gave me the answer, but I can't for my life remember who started Nush.
Add one letter in front and two
Anushka.
Letters at the end.
Anushka.
It's Anushka Sharma. And finally, the Rowdy Club.
Akshay Kumar?
Nope. This is Vijay Devarakonda, Telugu actor. Okay. The original... Okay. Arjun Reddy.
All right. Does it have
you any... might have also seen him in that fantastic, highly critically acclaimed box office breaking movie called Liger.
Indeed, that was the high point of Indian cinema. Liger was we had been building up to for all these decades.
Yes, crossbreed hai sara. Ugh. Okay, your turn.
In case anybody did not catch on to it, that was sarcasm. Liger is not a very good film. But
we should have a sarcasm klaxon.
Yeah. But speaking of not being very good at things, Vineet, are you ready for our next cricket question?
Yeah.
Again, this you have to be clued into pop culture and cricket. Maybe you got this, maybe you don't. Let's find out. How do we know Sareem Akhtar? How do we know this Pakistani gentleman called Sareem Akhtar? What is he more famously known as or known for?
Shoaib Akhtar's less famous and slower brother.
The Rawalpindi bullock cart.
Okay, no,
that's not
absolutely no clue. I've never heard of this person before.
Okay. If I tell you that he got inducted into the Museum of Memes a few years ago, would that...
Oh, wait. This is the disappointed Pakistani fan.
It is a disappointed Pakistani fan meme.
I may not know cricket, but I do know memes.
You do know memes. Vineet, because you do know the memes, do you want to do a little impression for the Pakistani fan meme?
Yeah, this is an audio podcast.
Yeah, so I'm asking for an audio impression, yeah?
Wait, I've only seen the, you know, the gifs of this thing. I don't know what he said. Did he say something?
No, it is that iconic part where he is, yeah, he is just disappointed. But there is a little bit of a...
No, okay. Okay. So let me just, I think I've understood what's gone on here. You and I have very weird view. You and I are talking about two different memes. Okay?
No, I'm talking about the same one.
No, I'm talking about the one where the Pakistani fan has hands on his hips and is looking very disappointed at the camera.
I'm talking about that one as well. I just forgot
that. There's an audio component to that.
Yeah, I know there is an audio component to that. I was trying to save my face. We need to just edit this part out, man.
I'm not editing that out. I'm keeping it in.
Oh, wow. For a second, I forgot about the fact that this is an audio component.
Because I thought, you remember this, there was this really hilarious interview of a Pakistani fan after a match where he's just going mental in front of the camera. So I thought you were talking about that meme when you said the audio or the audio clip. And I was like, oh, okay, we're both thinking of two different Pakistani memes.
No, I was not talking about that. But since you did bring that up, I will mention that that is also a funny meme. And I'll do an impression of that just to save my face at this point.
Yes, come on, yes.
That guy goes, "Jis baat badal di, bhavna badal di, kya kar kya rahe ye Pakistani cricketers hamare, ye pizza kha rahe, ye burger kha rahe."
Yes.
But you are right. There is no audio component to that. It is just that disappointed man. And this is from the match, by the way, during the 2019 World Cup between Australia and Pakistan.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay, I will move on to my next question. In an appeal, Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal, this is turning out to be a very Indian episode, a lot of Indian-based questions today. In an appeal, Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal urged Prime Minister Narendra Modi to consider including the image of X on currency notes in India to improve the economic situation of the country.
Okay.
This is already something which was adopted in Indonesia when in 1997, after all attempts to curb the devaluation of the currency failed, somebody suggested that having X on the currency would bring good fortune. Whether it was because of that or anything else, it apparently worked. And X has remained on the currency, on one particular currency note in Indonesia since then. Identify X.
Sorry, what is the India connect in this? You mentioned something about the Indian currency.
Yeah, so Arvind Kejriwal requested or appealed to Prime Minister Narendra Modi to include the image of X in Indian currency notes to improve the economic situation of the country.
Is it Goddess Lakshmi?
Yeah, so that was one of them that he had mentioned, but that's not the one that has the Indonesia connect. So Arvind Kejriwal had suggested Goddess Lakshmi and X, but X already exists on Indonesian banknotes, or at least one specific bank denomination.
Is it also some religious symbolism?
Yes.
Is it another Hindu god?
Given that Indonesia is a Muslim majority country, what do you think?
No, fair enough, because I mean they do have some significant Hindu population, so I thought maybe. I don't know, can like is it some line from the Quran which talks about prosperity? I don't know.
No, I was just messing with you. It is a Hindu deity.
this is nasty, Vinny. This is nasty.
I am the evil.
You're going to the quizzing hell. There's a space reserved in hell for quiz masters like you.
This is very simple. Come join the dark side of the force.
Wow, that is quite the audio pleasure.
Impression of the Emperor. Yeah. Palpatine?
Yeah, well done. okay, let me... Oh, which other Hindu god? Oh, boy. Saraswati then? Maybe knowledge?
No. We've already had a question on Indonesia and Saraswati way back when.
We have. That was a great question. Okay, I cannot think of anything that would fit the bill then.
Okay, let me just put it this way. As I mentioned, Indonesia in 1997... After all attempts to curb the devaluation of the currency failed, right? There were huge roadblocks which was preventing their currency from coming back up. So who would they put on the currency on the banknote? Yes, it is Lord Ganesh.
Ah,
the elephant, the elephant-headed Hindu god Ganesh, who is the remover of obstacles and bringer of good fortune, is on the Indonesian 20,000 rupee note, if I'm not mistaken. And Arvind Kejriwal had suggested or appealed to Prime Minister Narendra Modi to include Ganesh and Lakshmi on the notes.
Nice. In the 2011 World Cup final, which was at Wankhede, which we just talked about in a previous question, this was between India and Sri Lanka, by the way. What, which usually happens only once during a cricket match, happened twice?
The toss?
Ooh, that was such a quick crack. But since you already got it, I would love for you to elaborate a little bit if you have any clue as to why the coin toss happened twice.
If it was Rohit Sharma, I could have said that he forgot what he was supposed to do and they asked him to toss again.
For someone who does not follow cricket, you are very quick to jump on some Rohit Sharma bashing, which I like. I'm all for it. I'm here for it.
No, I mean, like, I find it very endearing that he did that. I mean, like, I know of this from memes and, you know, multiple such troll articles that I've read. But apart from that, I can't... I mean, like, Dhoni... Okay, did somebody not call it in the air?
Well, okay, close enough. The toss took place twice as a result of the confusion due to the noise made by the massive crowd. And here I'll quote Sangakkara, the Sri Lankan captain, when he said, "It was the crowd. The crowd was huge. It never happens in Sri Lanka. It only happens in India. Once it happened at Eden Gardens where I could not hear myself talk to the first slip. And then, of course, at the Wankhede. I remember calling on the toss. Mahi wasn't sure what I had called. He asked, 'Did you call tails?' And I said, 'No, I called heads.' And the match referee said that I won the toss, but Mahi said I didn't. So there was a little bit of confusion there. And then Mahi said, 'Okay, let's have another toss of the coin.' And that's when the second one went up and it came down heads again." So this is why the coin toss happened twice at the World Cup finale. And you got that very quickly. So kudos to you.
It happens only in India.
That was so random. you have had something different to eat tonight and you should tell me off air later.
No, it's Navratri, so I'm completely vegetarian for the past few days. The lack of protein is getting to my head.
The lack of animal protein, yes. Not to offend any vegans out there, we are. All right, so that was my final question. Vineet, let us wrap up this episode.
Yes, so what's your question for this week?
My question for this week is, in the future, if the economy does suffer in India again, what would be a lovely thing to put on the banknotes to perhaps evade that crisis?
Mm-hmm.
And okay. No religion should be insulted in this answer, or maybe all religions will be insulted. I don't know. Tune in next week to find out.
Yes. Don't worry. Aditya is an equal opportunity offender.
Indeed.
Okay, so let me go back to the beginning of the episode where I had asked an audience question. The question was, Palm Cola is a discontinued soft drink product from Tamil Nadu, Palm Gur and Fiber Cooperative Federation. Today, it's only remembered for its unique TV commercial. What was its claim to fame? Aditya, do you have any ideas?
Honestly, I would have guessed some celebrity's first appearance in an ad.
See, this is the thing. You know, I can't. I'm going to have to be very, very brutal in my questions and very dastardly in giving clues because this bugger gets everything on the first try. Theek hai. This was their first and only commercial. Can you guess who?
Oh, only commercial.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Since you are expecting an answer from me and you did mention that it's not Bollywood, if I'm not wrong. It's not... Which state did you mention, actually?
Tamil Nadu.
Oh, Tamil Nadu. Then it's an easy guess for me. Then it is Superstar Rajnikant.
Yes, it is Superstar Rajnikant. It is the only commercial that he's ever acted in his career. There's very grainy footage available on the internet, on YouTube, which I encourage everybody to go see.
Rajnikant has not done a single commercial apart from this one.
Apparently not.
That's insane. Wow. Well, somehow more respect for the man now.
Yes. No, but he is, despite all the trappings of his fame, he's a very down-to-earth kind of person in his interviews and the way he, presents himself. You know, no makeup, no jada, nothing. He just comes, very simple.
I've actually appreciated the fact that while in his movies he continues to wear a wig, when he comes in public, he comes with his natural hair, which is lack thereof, rather. And I love that. I love that as a celebrity, he's able to differentiate his on-screen persona and his actual personage, as it were. Which is interesting because I feel like a lot of celebrities don't do that. And there are rumors of a lot of Bollywood celebrities who, in their later years, wear wigs both in films and in their regular life in front of their fans or for interviews or whatever, just because they don't want to be seen in their natural state, which is so sad because at that age, if you don't have lush hair on your head, nobody's going to be like, oh, you are not attractive. You are a octogenarian. You can't afford to not have hair on your head.
Very true. Very true. But Rajnikant, very down-to-earth person. This was apparently the only commercial that he's ever acted in. Now, before we leave, there was a suggestion by a listener of this podcast that they appreciate some of the recommendations of things that we watch, listen to, or read. And they suggested that we could, at the end of every episode, try and give a recommendation, if we have any, for something that we've seen in the past month or the past week. So Aditya, do you have any recommendations for our audience?
Well, I'm going to give a podcast recommendation. And this is a niche recommendation. It is for the fans of late night TV in the US, because I'm a huge fan of all of your late night shows. It's a dwindling audience, but hey, if you do listen to them, Strike Force 5 was a podcast which was hosted by 5 late night hosts. And these were Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, and John Oliver. This was done during the writer's strike, which is now over. And they did it in an effort to raise money for their for the people who were striking and their own cast and crew, in because they were not earning the regular paycheck. So this was done as a charity thing, I guess. And it's a fun little podcast. So if you do like late night comedy, late night TV shows, and you like podcasts, well, this is something you should not miss.
Great. For my part, I just finished watching this 4-part documentary on Netflix called Beckham, which is a beautifully shot and directed documentary about David Beckham's life. It is one of the best or most engaging, I wouldn't say best, but one of the most engaging sports documentaries I've seen, easily within the ranks of The Last Dance, Senna, The Two Escobars. So Netflix, great job. Beckham, 4 episodes, 4 hours worth of binge-worthy content. And it's a lot of insight into the 90s. And, Beckham of the 90s brought back a lot of memories for me as a 90s kid. So, yeah, Beckham, great documentary.
Lovely. And on that note, we wrap up the episode.
Yes. Thanks all for this episode. Thank you all for listening in. We hope you enjoyed the show and learned something new. If you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing to our podcast and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform wherever you're listening to us. It helps us reach a wider audience and allows more people to discover and enjoy the show. Now, I can't stress this enough. I keep saying this every week, but many of you keep listening and not rating the podcast. Please take 2 seconds and hit that button, subscribe to us, and leave us a 5-star review. Please. We'd also love to hear from you. Feedback, suggestions, questions, trivia questions, you can send them to us on our email at ruquizzingme@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on Instagram at ruquizzingme. We appreciate your support and look forward to sharing more episodes with you in the future. Aditya will be back after the musical sting with the fact check. And that's all from me today.
See you guys next week.